Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Bav Metzia, Daf Dalad Amud Aleph. In the middle of our discussion of the ruling of Rabbi Chiya, his argument, and the support that he claimed to have from our Mishnah. Now, we're going to get back to this a little later on at the end of the podcast, but Rabbi Chiya's first ruling was that if A claims that B owes him money, B denies the debt, A deem come to support A and testify that B owes part of it, Rabbi Chiya claimed that B would then have to pay the part that he's testified about and then take a shvua to acquit himself of the rest. He claimed that was a kal vachomer and then claimed that there was support to that from our Mishnah. At the end of the previous podcast, the point that we got to, we demonstrated that our Mishnah really does not speak to that issue, because in our Mishnah, there are equal claims of each person, whereas in Rabbi Chiya's case, the malve, who is suing for the money, clearly does have edim, as is in his case, as he states, and the love does not have any edim, because if that were the case, then he would not have him take an oath. So we pick up in the middle of the discussion, Elikiin Marvatana Tuna, in other words, Rabbi Chiya stated the rule and then supported it with the introductory form of Tana Tuna, supporting it from our Mishnah. That support was really coming to support a different ruling of Rabbi Chiya. Ha'idach to Rabbi Chiya Itmar was a different statement of Rabbi Chiya, and let's see what that is. And this is the famous din of Halech to Rabbi Chiya. Da'am Rabbi Chiya, Manele biyadcha, A says to B, owe me money. V'halomer in the chabiyah de'la chamishim zuz. He owns up to owing 50. V'halach, but he gives it to him. He doesn't say, yes, I owe you 50 and we'll deal with it. He hands him the 50. Chayav, nonetheless, he has to take a shvua on the rest. My tama, why? Halach nami kamot miktsad atana dami. Because when you say, yes, I owe it, and here it is, I'm giving it to you, that's also mode miktsad atana. All of the reasoning that we argued based on Rabba's chazaka applies here. And our Mishnah supports that position. Why? It's clear that the two men are each holding on to the talit in our Mishnah. And so the part that I'm not holding on to is the halach. In other words, you're claiming you owe the whole thing. I'm claiming that I owe you nothing. But then there's testimony that I owe part. I'm owning up to part because I'm letting you hold half of it, and that's like a halach. Uktani shavan, unless you have to take a shvua. Now, Rav Sheshet disagrees and says halach patur. My tama came and amar lahalach, because the minute you say halach, the minute the guy says you owe me $100,000, I say no, I only owe you 50, and here it is. Hani zuzi de kamodi begavaihu, the 50 that you admit to, kaman denakid le malvadami. It's as if the malv already has them. Which means he's really only coming to claim to you 50, halamodi, and you're denying the 50. So it's not as if he's saying, where's the 100? And you're saying, well, I owe you 50, and I don't owe you the other 50, and we're going to negotiate about that. According to Sheshet, I owe you 50, here they are, which means we're done now. And now you want another 50? That I deny totally, and there's no mode of miktsat. Helkach leka hodav miktsat atana. Right? That's Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet kashman itin, so how will Rav Sheshet resolve his position against our Mishnah? We already saw this in the previous podcast, two podcasts ago, that the Shvua is not an inherent Shvua. It's not part of Modz Miktsad. Our Shvua is a special takana that was put in. Rabbi Yochanan told us about it. Special takana that was put in to make sure people wouldn't go up and grab other people's things and say, now I'll share it with you. And I'll split it and I won't have to, and I won't have any downside. The Shvua is there to get the Ramai away. V'idach, Rabbi Chiya will have to say in. I agree that it's takon chachamim. Umiyu i'amar bishlama midoraita helachaya mitakting rabbanon shvua kein doraita. But he makes the following claim. If you agree with me that in a case of helach yachayev, then the rabbanon would have made their shvua sort of parallel to that. Eli amar midoraita helach pater, but if you think that midoraita helach is pater, like you say, Rav Sheshet, the Rabbanon are not going to make a shvua that's just out of nowhere. In other words, the principle of Chiya is operating on as a principle, it's quite well substantiated, but not conclusively so, throughout Shas, which is that when the Rabbanan establish a procedure or a minhag, whatever it may be, that it's usually within a system of the Torah and it's an extension of it, or it's patterned after it. Kein doraita tikkun. And if there is, in other words, if the Torah never obligated you to make an oath in the case of a halach where you already hand over the part that you owe, then the Rabbanan would not have felt comfortable instituting a shvuah that just has no model in the Torah. That's Rav Chiya's argument. Meitavei, so we're going to see a challenge. The challenge is going to go perhaps through against Rav Sheisha, perhaps against Rav Chiya. Watch. Slaim dinarim. Let's say that a guy comes with a shtar signed properly, anybody else, that says, you owe me slaim. I'm borrowing slaim from you, or dinarim, meaning it doesn't say a number of coins, it just coins into the plural. Now, what's the most the malva could get out of him? Would be two, because minimum of slaim is two, and that's the best you can get. Malva omer chamesh. The malva says it was really five. Velova omer shalosh. And the borrower says, no, it was three. What is the lova doing? The lova, by saying three, he's being moted a miktzat. Had he said two, then he's just agreeing with the shtar and he's not being moted anything. But if it says three, he's moted a miktzat. Therefore, yishavah, he has to take an oath about the other two. Rabbi Kiva says, no, he doesn't, because the third that he agrees to is Hashavas Aveda, because the Malva had no way to collect more than two from him. The fact that he volunteers three makes him a good guy. And he's Meshav Aveda, and Meshav Aveda doesn't have to take a shvuah that there wasn't more to the Aveda. Upatur. Now, Ketani Miya, let's take a look at Rav Shimon Elazar first. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Hoil V'Hodam Iktzata Tana Yishava. So Tama Damar Shalosh. Why did Rav Shimon Elazar say he has to take the oath? Because he said three. Hashtayim Patur. So we would assume, and we would infer, that had he said just two, meaning agreeing with the shtar, then he would be Patur from a shvuah. Now, v'hai shtar dekamodi behelachu, and the shtar itself is like a helach, because that's already a done deal. U'shmamina helach pater, what do you see from Shimon Elazar? That the only reason he's chayiv in a shvua is because he added, and he said, I owe you three. But had he only said, I owe you two, which basically is a helach, because the shtar is already there, he'd be pater. And therefore you see helach pater. So how can you say Reb Chiya that helach chayiv? Lo, li'ola me'melacha shtayim chayiv. Our answer could be that Rav Shimon Elazar would say, even if he only said shtayim b'chayiv. V'haydik tani shalosh. So why did the Mishnah pick the case of shalosh? Afukim and Rabbi Kiva. To oppose Rabbi Kiva, da'amar meshiv aveda havi pater. Because Rabbi Kiva says, when you say shalosh, you're meshiv aveda. He can't say that about shtayim. But when he says shalosh, it's like you're volunteering the third piece. Therefore, you're pater. Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to say that even in that case, Kamar Shpulan, Demod Miktzat Hatana by V'chayiv. He says, no, essentially you are not Meshav Avedu, you're Modu Miktzat Hatana. Of course, you're Modu Miktzat Hatana if you say two also. So therefore, Rav Shimon Elazar would say, you're Chayiv even if two. And therefore, we have no proof here about Halach. Yach, Rav Shimon Elazar, Omar Ho'il, Vahod Miktzat Hatana, Yishavea. But look at Rav Shimon Elazar's wording. He says, Ho'il Vahodab Miktzat Hatana. Is that why you're taking the oath? It should be even this guy has to take an oath. In other words, according to you, you're saying the Shimon Elazar would say you're chayev if you said two, and you're even chayev if you said three. So it shouldn't say, since he was moda, since the guy said three was moda, but mitzata tanai has taken an oath, it should say the opposite, should say, even this guy has taken an oath. Ella liolam shtayim pato. We have to go back to our original inference, which is that if you said two, you really would be pater. But halach chayiv, nonetheless halach is chayiv. Meaning we're saying our inference was correct, but the application was incorrect. V'shani hacha dekamasai le'shtara. Here, when you say two, the reason that you are pater is because the shtar is supporting your claim. The shtar isn't just a blank thing. The shtar says dinarim, and our read of dinarim is two. And therefore, when you say two, you're supported by the shtar, you don't have to take an oath. Hinami mishum nami le'shtar, shibud karkot. The other possibility is that when you say two, you'd be pater, because you would be taking an oath about the shtar, and the shtar is shibud karkot, because after all, when you have a shtar, there's a chrayut, so you can collect from karka. And you can't take a shvuah on kfirat shibud karkot, just like karka itself does not attach to a shvuah. So denying a debt of a lien on karka, you don't take an oath on either. So therefore, even though helach might be chayiv, nonetheless, if you said shtayim, you'd be pater. Now, that's looking at Rav Shimon Elazar as potentially being support for Rav Sheshet, and then saying not necessarily. Now, Ika Demotiv Misefa, some people actually challenged from the Seifa, which is Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Enoch Elam Kim Shavavira Potter. If you said three, you'd be Potter. Tamad Omer Shalosh. So now we do the opposite inference. The reason you're Potter is because you said three. Hashtayim Chayav. But if you said only two, then we assume that you would be Chayiv. So the shtar that you're admitting to when you say shtayim, that's like helach. So what does Rabbi Kiva says, you're potter because you said shalosh, and that extra one that you're admitting to, that's Meshiva Veda, and that you didn't have to admit to, but had you only stuck to two, which you're already stuck with, then basically it's a helach, and it'd say you'd be chayiv. Lo, li'olam emelach ha'shtayim nami potter. We're going to go back, use the same reason we used before, but inverted. We're going to say, really, even if you said shtayim, you'd be potter. V'hadik tani shalosh, tafukim Rav Shimon Elazar. The reason that where the Mishnah picked shalosh to discuss, and so Rabbi Kiva says, even shalosh you're potter, is to go against Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion. Amar mod miktzara tana havi v'chayiv. Because Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, in such a case, you're considered mod miktzara tana, and Rabbi Mashmalan, de meshav aveda havi potter. Therefore, it teaches us that Rabbi Kiva says that this case is meshav aveda. And hachinami mistabra, we have to really say it that way. Why? And that's more reasonable. The Salka Daitach Shtayim Chayiv. If you think that Rabbi Kiva would say Shtayim is Chayiv, B'Shalosh Hechi Pater Le Rabbi Kiva. How could Rabbi Kiva say you're Pater if you say three? Because Harum Mekam Ma'arim, the guy is lying. So then there's the guy, let's say, really owes five. So he knows if I say two, I'm going to have to take a Shvua. So you know, Savar, I'm in a Shtayim, but in a Shtabui. I'm a Shalosh, so you know what I'll do? I'll say Shalosh. Then I'll be considered Meshiv Aveda. I'll be Pater, and I won't have to take a Shvua. The reality is he owes five. If he has to take a shvua, he's going to have to admit to it because he doesn't want to lie under oath. So but he's a deceptive guy, so you know what he'll say? He'll say, I owe three. It'll cost him one extra instead of three extra. It must be that Rabbi Kiva would say, even if he said shtayim, you're potter, and of course if you say shalosh, you're also potter, and therefore our inference to say helech is chayiv from here is no good either. But the problem is, then this becomes a challenge to Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya would say that Helech is Chayiv. Shani Hatam to come a Sayele Shtara. Again, the same argument that we had is the reason you're Potter when you say Shtayim is because your claim is substantiated by the Shtar. Yinam Yishum to have the Shtar, she would Karkad, Ve'en Yishman al Kferet, she would Karkad, or because of the other argument that we had, that if you are Moda B'Shtar, when you're only moda to what the star says, then basically you're taking a shvua that you don't own, the shvua that you would have to be, that it would take, you're taking a shvua that what's written in the star that you're claiming is not five, but it really only means two, you're being kofer shivud karkot. And then, of course, we don't take an oath on that, as we said before. Okay, last piece. Meitiv Marzutra Breidu of Nachman. We have another challenge coming from Nachman's son. Ta no kelim karkot. If a claimant says you owe me some vessels, metaltalin, and some karka, so hod of a kelim karkot. If the guy says I owe you all the kelim, and I don't owe you any of the karka, hod of a karka for kelim, or vice versa, potter. He's potter. Why? Because the only way you'll be chayev is if you're moda in part of the metaltalin and deny part of the metaltalin, because karka is not in the picture for karka for shvua. Hodam miktzat karkot potter. Hodam miktzat kelim chayev. That's the only case you're chayev. That's the ruling. Now, Tama de Kelim Karkot says the only reason that you, when you have these two, you're always putter is because it's Kelim and Karkot. Why the Karka love about Shvua? Because Karka is not in the world of Shvua. Ha Kelim and Kelim Dumi the Kelim Karkot. If you could construct such a case where you have two sets of Metaltalin, which are parallel to Kelim and Karkot, and what's Karkot? Karkot are always Helach because they're always present. Then Chayav, Hechidami, Lav damar lehelach. Aren't we talking about a case where you have some metaltalin, and you say, you owe me $100, and I say, oh, I owe you $50, and here it is, which is like karka, because it's right there. And so our inference is that you said that in the case of kelim v'karkot, you'd be potter. The inference is that if we're kelim v'kelim like karkot, you'd be chayiv. And therefore, meaning if you denied the kelim that are one set of kelim and the others you agreed to and they were like our code in that they were halach, you'd be chayiv. which supports Rav Chiya. Now, you know, the reality is that it could be that if you admitted to some metaltalin and denied some metaltalin, but you handed it over to the guy, like Karkaot, that you're potter, like Rav Sheshet. Why did they pick Kelim Karkaot? Hakamashplan, Hoda Miktsat Kelim Chayim Afal Karkaot. Very big Chiddush. Because if you're a Moda in some of the Kelim, and Kofer in some of the Kelim, and the Karkaot, you also denied, then you have to take a Shvua even on that Karkaot. Meaning, even though Karkaot cannot draw in a Shvua independently, but if Karkaot are part of a general claim, a larger claim that includes Metaltalin, and because of the Metaltalin you have to take a Shvua, Karkaot can be added into the Shvua. So my Kamashpalan, if that's the case, what's it teaching us? Zokakin? The halacha of Zokakin, meaning the halacha that Metaltalin can drag in Karka that's part of the same claim? Tanina, that's the Mishnah in Kiddushin in the first parak. So, kin on a chasim she'en la machrayut, and a chasim she'esh la machrayut. Metaltalin can be zokek, can tie in karka lishavalem, to take a shvua. The answer is, hacha ikar hatam agav grar and aspa. The answer is, you're right. In Kiddushin, that's the main instruction. That's the main point of it. Here, it just mentions derech agav. That's why it picks kelim karkaot. So, it's there to teach you that karkaot could be dragged in with kelim. Okay. Now, let's go back to Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says Helach is Potter. Think about this. Why do we need psukim to cut out karka? We have several psukim that we dealt with at the end of Bava Kama that demonstrated that karka is just not in the world of shvua and as far as gzela, etc. goes, etc. Why do you need a pasuk to eliminate karka from shvua? After all, hakol karka helachu. Karka is always helach. It's right there. So when you say, I'm chayiv, here it is. I don't have to scramble to find it. It's in front of me. So since karka is always halach, and you, Rav Sheshet, think halach is always pater, why didn't a pasuk to exempt me from karka? So malacha, here would be his answer. The pasuk is there for a situation where you took the land and you destroyed it. You dug it up and you did something like to destroy it, where it's not such a halach. Inami hecha de tano kelim karkaot, v'hoda bekelim v'kafar b'karkaot, or a case where you were moda bekelim, but you denied the karkaot, and so therefore, I need to know that you're potter, and that and because otherwise, if I thought that karkaot were, I didn't have the pasuk and the karkaot are sort of part of the shvua world, then when I deny the karkaot, they're not halach anymore because that's the part I'm denying. I take the kelim, I hand it to you, I've denied the karkaot, I would think I take a shvua. Okay, toshma dan ramechama bar shomim tzuchim kfir. This is a Gemara that we had in the ninth parak of Bava Kama. That when a shomer has to take an oath, it has to be built into the case that generates the oath, has to be a case where he denies some liability, but he admits to some liability. Shomer chinam ha-shoah nosesocha v'socher, all four shomerim. Now, hechidami. How could you have a situation with a pikadon where you're admitting to some liability and denying some liability? It must be that you're admitting you have the pikadon and you're handing it over. That's halach. L'avdamar lehalach. Lo, we construct the following case. Damar leh shalosh parot masar tulecha. The mafkid says, I gave you three cows. Umeitu kulu b'pshia. And they're all dead now b'pshia. And I want you to pay me for them. You were neglectful. V'amar leihu. And the shomer says back, chada lahadam. Lo ayu dvarim me'olam. One of them never happened. There was only two cows. Mechada, one of them, meta ba'onus. It didn't die because of neglect. It died because of some onus. Some hurricane came, whatever it might be. Mechada, meta b'pshia. One, I was neglectful. In other words, I do admit to some liability, and I'm denying some liability, but there's no halach here because the two that I did have are dead, and the other one never happened. Deba'in eshlumilach, I have to pay you that one. Delav halachu, there's no halach here. Okay? So, we explain Rami Brachama's a ruling to have a case without a halach, and that's why you take the shua, which means that we've not proven that halach chayav. Okay, last place. Toshma d'tani avot tani avua d'Rabbi Apturiki l'Rabbi Chia Kamaita. He taught the following relating to the first ruling of Rav Chiya, the one that we dealt with in the previous podcast, which is Rav Chiya's halacha of if A says to B, you owe me $100,000, B says, I owe you nothing, and then A brings 80 and that he owes him $50,000, and Rav Chiya says he has to take a shvua on the other 50, besides paying the first 50. This is the Braita. Exactly Rav Chiya's wording, except I might think he has to take an oath. Talmud Lomar, HaKol HaVeda Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. It's only when the guy says Ki Huzeh, meaning Al Hodat Piva Tamachaybo. It's only when he says, yes, I owe you some, and I don't owe you other. But not if Edim are the ones who testify, which means you have a clear Braita from the Pasuk that indicates against Rabbi Chiya, which is that if Edim come and say you owe part, that's the part he has to pay. The rest is just a full kfira, and he doesn't have to take a shvua. So the answer, Manita Karami Talid Rabbi Chiya, your challenge Rabbi Chiya from a Braita? Rabbi Chiya Tana, Upali, Rabbi Chiya himself has the status of a Tana, and he could disagree with a Braita. There's no issue of a canonized law facing down Rabbi Chiya here. Ah, Baba Hakra Kamar, but we have a Pasuk, which means that Rabbi Chiya is going to have another interpretation for the Pasuk. The answer is, Ahula Moda Mitzata Tana. The Pasuk, Asher Yomari Ki Huzeh, is there to teach you the basic principle of Moda Mitzata Tana, and not to cut out Edim. So how would the author of the Braita explain it? Ktiv hu uktiv zeh. Asher yomar ki hu zeh. What's the who for? Who is inclusive? Zeh is exclusive, saying this and no other. Chad lemodu miksat atana. Asher yomar ki hu. He's pointing to the thing and saying, some of it I owe and some of it I don't. Chad ladot edim depater. And the other is to exclude if edim testify. And as opposed to the fellow admitting to the partial debt. The Irach, what would Rabbi Chiya answer back? Chad lemodem miksat ha'tana, v'chad lemodem imin ha'tana. He says, you know what who and ze is for? Who is to teach you modem miksat ha'tana? And ze is there to exclude when your admission is not a response to the claim. And we'll see an example in a second. V'irach modem imin ha'tana, lately. Remember, these sort of things often end up that at the final turn, one of the disputants disagrees with a particular halacha, which means he's got an extra phrase for this halacha, etc., and that's how things spiral back. So Rabbi Abturki is going to say, Modim mina tana lately, v'savar like Rabbi Gamliel. He holds like Rabbi Gamliel, that none, the Mishnah says, in Shuot, Tanochi, Tin, V'odalo, B'seorin, if the fellow says, you owe me 100 sheaves of wheat, and the fellow says back, no, I only owe you 50, and they're barley, putter. Because that's mimina ta'ana. The response has to be part in the same grouping as the claim and just a smaller amount than the claim. Rabbi Gamliel Machai, Rabbi Gamliel says, if modesh shalom mina ta'ana is still chayav. And therefore, Rabbi Abturki is going to say, I hold up Rabbi Gamliel. I therefore do not need zeh to exclude when your admission is to something different than the claim because you really are chayav there. And therefore, it's there to exclude edim. Rabbi Chiya will say, I hold like Rabbanan. And if you aren't modeh b'mina ta'ana, you're pater. And that's what zeh is excluding. And who is therefore modeh b'mina ta'ana? And I don't have a pasuk that excludes when edim are the source of the information. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.